Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Thank you, dude, and welcome to the Friday edition of the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Tis I, Rob Spiewak, your host, and as I said yesterday, curator of the best of. You can tell it's Friday because I've put a little extra DJ reverb on my voice. Fun, right? Yeah, because today we're going to talk a little bit of radio stuff, so the reverb will fit right in. But first, let us begin when we were having a wind event in Washington, D.C., almost typhoon-like winds. Actually, it was threatened to be tornadic activity. And, you know, it affects everyone different. Oscar was in the city. I'm out here in the suburbs. And there was a lot of wind. But no matter what, this segment will always be important because it's when we met Ferrari Guy. I think you're going to like Ferrari Guy. That's actually a two-parter. This is a doppel segment. So enjoy it. It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I became aware of it yesterday online that apparently there's some sort of massive typhoon in the D.C. area. I see Messrs. Santana Bloom and Monsieur Spiewak. They are all here in studio. You didn't get blown away. What the hell's going on up there?
When I left my house today, in front of my house, I have cedars, you know, cedar trees. And
yes.
I guess they were smaller when we moved them, but now they're probably like 12 or 15 feet tall.
Those are 12 or 15 tall animals.
You think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
They were bent at 90 degrees. We were getting about 59-mile-an-hour winds in Leesburg this morning.
It's really 59?
That's
really 59?
I heard it on the news. I heard
59.
Tucker told me. Curmudgeonly 59. Tucker Barnes.
This may help you, Mike. It's a type of storm where you see the clouds moving at a clip where you're like, this looks like a...
Yeah, we're going
to
die.
Time lapse.
Yeah, it looks like a time lapse sky.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I looked at my neighbor who was picking up his trash can because you lay him out in the city, right?
Yeah.
And right. he goes, goddamn, stop. And I'm like, I think it's going to snow. He goes,
oh, there was flurries on the way in, even though it's only 40 degrees.
He pointed to the sky. I said, I think we're all going to die because I've never seen clouds move that fast in my life.
Clouds can creep me out. It looks tornadic outside. You know, that sort of weird color in the sky. It's that weird
nor'easter.
Yeah. Yeah. Wicked.
They're saying that this is an event you haven't had for many, many years.
Yeah.
It's crazy out there.
The federal government is closed. Most of the county schools are closed. Universities are closed. It is wild, especially if you're driving to work and you see no cars like on the streets or the highway.
My commute was 40 minutes shorter today. 40 minutes.
You sit there and you're like, did I miss something? Like, I must have missed something because there's nobody going to work today.
Yeah.
Is the so are you going to get a dramatic change in like the weather patterns after this moves through? Will it be cold again or what's going on?
High wind warning until 6 a.m. tomorrow and then continued mid-40s for the foreseeable future.
So it's just a wind event.
It's right? a wind event. But it's
but that's when trees fall through houses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's when Bob Marley gets in his underwear and chainsaw.
Yeah, and it's flip-flops.
Yeah.
It's very, very scary. Well, good
Loudoun
luck,
County
right?
Closed their schools, I think, at about 5:10 this morning. That's when we got the call from Wade. But Robert was most excited. He said he came running downstairs. I was like, Dad. I said, what? He says, trash pickup has been canceled. I don't have to put out the recycles. And then a fist bump. I mean, I said, you want to hold out for school.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Right you are, Mike.
You will like this, Mike. While I feel for this gentleman and I don't know him, he just moved into the neighborhood.
Yeah. Is his house tiny too?
No, he's got one of the big houses on the corner.
The big
right?
house.
Yeah, one of the big houses. How much does a Porsche 911 Carrera cost? Do you think
brand new?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Yeah, about 90.
I don't think.
$90.
I think it's over $100,000. Just guesstimate, right?
Okay. I don't know. Can you get 0% financing?
I called Yvonne, and I was able to get one in my driveway in a day and a half.
For both of you, I think, can you fit in it is the question. But listen.
Right. Yeah. I had one, by the way, Mr. Man.
What?
I had a Porsche Cayenne a long time ago.
When
he bought it because he liked the flavor.
When we moved, was it a Cayenne or a Cayman?
Cayenne. The Porsche Cayenne is a crossover.
Which is the two-door?
Which one has a double Flamin?
I got the Cayman when we moved to Florida because I was so distraught. that we were moving to another studio, that I wanted to have something to look forward to.
Daddy wants a toy.
Because Daddy wanted a toy, because Daddy's commute was now going to be have an hour added to it. It ended up being a lot more a day. So it was more like 2 hours a day that it was added to my commute. Remember those trips home from Rockville, Maryland?
Where they were great.
We get on the beltway and it was just like, okay, well, here we are for another 9 hours.
But is that SUV?
That's the Cayenne.
It was the
two-door.
It was the smaller than the 911.
You got the sports car?
I got the sports car, pal. Look it up.
I don't remember you in that car.
I got rid of it shortly thereafter. I realized it just wasn't
I've gotten in one of those.
It was practical.
Like just for S's and giggles.
Yeah.
And I don't feel comfortable in it. It's too small.
My Facebook feed for the On This Day today went back to when we were still broadcasting in Manassas. Remember when you were for some reason in a smart car for a few days?
Yes.
And there's a picture of me in a smart car, and it's the most horrifying thing you've ever seen.
Let me say this about cars, okay? I'm 58 years old now. Let me tell you what I think about. Let me tell you what I think about cars. Okay. All right? The fact is, at this advanced age, and I love
the
cars,
fact is.
There it is.
Hit it. That's a crappy alarm.
You chose it.
I did not choose it. I did not.
You did.
If I chose it, I would have picked it, Mr. Man, Mr. Lippity Lip today.
The quote was this. You said, "Where's that from?" That's from Todd.
You got mad at me because when you said your son was doing something lazy, I said the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That got you upset, and now you're telling me I chose something that I didn't choose.
You picked it out. You chose it.
I did not.
You said it was so great that you wanted
it. Choosing it means I would have looked in a sound effects library and
Oscar played it, and you said you wanted it.
Because that's what you played for me. If you give me other options, maybe we could have caught him.
Find something new. The fact is, he needs something new.
All right, here's
anyway, I'm terrible. It's a cricket. It's a variation of saying I'm the one that says TFI.
TFI.
TFI. I should say TFI. Where was I? I forgot what I was talking about.
You bought a car you couldn't fit in.
No, well, you could fit in it.
Cars. Here it is. 58. Rob knows that I was a car person. I loved cars.
We had a joke about it. Cars. Every Tuesday you'd buy a car. That was the old joke.
I loved sports cars. I loved it. But I'm here to say if I could go back and change things, I would. Because when I see the guys down here, the old men that are driving their ridiculously expensive cars. And there is a guy in the neighborhood that has a, what's the super expensive sports car? Like the
Maserati?
The Mac Day. No, more
the Bentley.
Expensive.
Bentley.
Buick LeCern. Ferrari.
Ferrari.
And then there's another guy that's a wholesaler. But I'll tell you, when you see the white-haired guys in these cars, you're like, trip.
It just makes them look like a stain. It screams success and Viagra.
Yeah.
It screams a-hole to me.
Really?
Maybe it's because I... And by the way...
Here he comes in his Ferrari, Mike.
Here he is. Hey, look at this guy. Oh, yeah.
Is he eating the Snickers?
Yeah. I can play this game.
You know you can.
Wait, you can play this right now. I'll just do.
Yeah, what we got here, Oscar, is we have a Ferrari owner from South Florida. How's your Ferrari? Yeah.
It's so fast.
Why did you buy it?
Because I'm a dick.
You know what?
I'm driving in my Ferrari.
You know it's stick.
It's a stick.
Yeah.
Like me. Let me open the glove compartment.
What's in
can
there?
You turn that up for me a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me open the glove compartment. Let me check out those little blue pills. There's my Viagra. Yeah. I got a comb over. Yeah. Gonna get a lot of ladies with this. Think I'm gonna roll down to Twin Peaks. Have a beer. Drive my Ferrari.
Hey, you know what you might want to do is you might want to go to Walmart and pick up some Grecian formula.
Yeah. Sideburns. Feeling pretty good. Hey, Pony.
Yes.
How many days without a cigarette?
I've lost count. We're on, 16 or so?
Be about right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pony boy. Oh, yeah. Who's the intern today?
Oh, we have Adrian and we have Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, Adrian. Are you wearing that ski cap?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Adrian.
Yes.
Can you say hi, Mike?
Hi, Mike.
Okay. Does it sound a lot like this?
Hi, Mike.
All right. I've got some dollar amounts.
Oh, good,
amounts.
Good.
They came. Right, so, they came in today. Into today's came in, right? It's $55,000, right?
How much is it?
$55,000
in today's dollars.
That's not like Ferrari money. So you, you pay starting. For like an SUV now, for God's sake. So,
that's starting with no frills, no detail, right. No wheels,
California
whatever,
emission,
right?
Yeah, undercoating.
If you get the 911 Carrera, the one that's the new neighbor's car, which a right. branch fell on from this wind.
Oh no!
Right. Oh dear.
The cost of, now the guy, the a-hole Ferrari guy is waving his arms around. He's telling me there's only one thing that matters about it. What? Well, what? Come over here. Tell me what's going on.
I didn't know he'd be back.
The only thing that matters with a sports car
yeah?
is how it goes in. Is how it goes into a diminishing radius curve.
A what?
A diminishing radius curve. I got that from Gordon Liddy.
Hey, I bet there you never go. Miss his show.
Oh, hold on a second. He said, do you ever miss Liddy's show?
No way. Hey, I gotta run.
Bye.
Hannity's coming on.
The 911 Carrera S is what she it's a beautiful car. I've never seen a Porsche of this caliber on my
block. I feel as though when you're discussing this that the Ferrari man should just still be on the show and talking to you as you're having this discussion.
Well, I mean, like he can panel. Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Of
you can buy thank you. You can buy a used Ferrari right now on Auto Trader for $55,000.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't know where it's been. I can find brand new.
Hey, FG.
Yeah, Ferrari guy.
Do you have $55,000 to spare?
I have $55,000 in my right pocket.
I say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you like this? It's my Tucker Carlson bow tie. Oh, yeah.
I'm just surprised you're wearing it with a t-shirt.
And I'm wearing my glasses today, too. Note the color. They match my shoes. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Ferrari.
Hi,
do you remember
FG?
Do you remember Tom Selleck's Ferrari?
Oh yeah, that red
point
Hawaii
of order.
Red.
It was Higgins Ferrari, but he used it.
Yes, yeah. Well, that model now goes for $69,000 on Auto Trader.
69, my favorite number. Oh yeah.
Hey FG, when you think 69, yeah. Which of your wives do you think of?
Well, they were all trophies. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, he's done. Let's take a break, everybody.
Already?
I don't know what else. Talking about
the Michael Mara Show. TMRS.
What would you want to say? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that you'll be happy because I know you take joy in other people's
he
misery.
He won't be happy.
That the yes. guy, it wasn't just the branch that fell on this guy's brand new 911 Carrera. Wasn't just
right.
like a branch and a dent.
Right.
It was a branch, dent, windshield completely popped out.
Wow. Because
it's an old tree. Clearly, bigger branches.
Wow.
The wind blew. That's the danger from what we're having here with the wind.
Mm-hmm. The danger where you live in Georgetown, at least where Rob lives in one of those planned communities, you don't have, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't have a tremendous amount of mature trees.
No, it's
correct?
A very
you
young, little, it's a young environment. And they
it's
didn't
a
have
young
a chance.
Environment.
They planted a lot of like dogwoods and ornamentals to grow fast, but we don't have oaks or maples or stuff like that to really
no,
trouble
I mean,
us, right?
Oscar lives on a street where like Ben Franklin was getting
yeah,
I mean, it's basically a, you know, it's.
I saw
it's,
the plaque.
There is a magnolia.
That's how he got syphilis.
There is a magnolia in my backyard, right? That I inquired on getting removed because
how tall is it?
It seemed dangerous to our home yeah. and the homes around us.
It doesn't matter. I'm sure it's strong as steel.
It was here before the North controlled the city, and it'll be here after it as well.
Yeah, we bring those fancy violin players down to the city, and we'd steal them and send them away.
Make do you
fortune.
Smell that blossom? That's magnolia blossom.
What a delightful magnolia. I think I'm going to have it with my sweet tea.
To the city.
So what happens? I'm sorry. I've interrupted you like 90 times.
It's okay. The city.
The fact is.
The city. The city said that they would. It would have to be cleared through them first, okay. Right? But then if we got it cleared, it could cost no less than roughly $5,000 to get it removed. So clearly the tree's going to stay.
It's what we call a $5,000 magnolia.
But that is that is huge. Yeah.
I will take a picture of it and I will share it on our TMOS page.
How tall do you think it is? How tall do you think the magnolia is?
Oh, it's at least a 5-story building.
You see, that's the deal.
It is huge.
When you see a tree that tall and that mature, you know the root system is as big underground.
Yes, yeah, so that's the big removal. The limbs will come off. Are you in any danger with your house?
That's what I was worried about, because when I walked outside, I saw that thing a swaying.
But Shannon, on the other hand,
you're coming to work today because if that falls on the house, it'll split the house in half.
But think, Mike, of the width of the house. The odds of it actually hitting Oscar's house are very slim.
Yeah, yes,
I mean, it won't. Your neighbors are in trouble, but you're going to be okay.
Yeah, but who's liable? Me?
No, you're fine.
No, I asked.
Stop picking up the phone.
I asked our insurance agent. Nationwide is on our side, and they said if that tree is on your yard and it falls over and causes damage in other homes' properties, you're liable for that.
You can't cut the trees.
It is crap, Pony, and you know what?
But it's true. It's true.
But it's the racket that the whole game, the whole insurance. You know,
here.
You're better off seriously taking a little penknife, a little Swiss Army knife, cutting a little hole in your mattress, and just shoving dollar bills in there for when something really bad happens because of the way insurance. I got people down here.
You're going to say use the penknife to cut down the tree. No, you say it's going to take forever.
No, the point is insurance doesn't pay. You know how many people are down here not getting paid? By insurance companies because of roof damage.
Oh, they're
not getting paid. The insurance companies are dicking people around. You never hear about it. It's never talked about. We're all too busy, you know, talking about Donald Trump and Alec Baldwin. I mean, nobody gives a rat's ass about the fact that these insurance companies are screwing people and not paying off on their claims. Now, auto insurance, a lot harder to do. You pay your auto insurance, they got more in the kitty, and that's it. But homeowners, you know, for massive catastrophic damage, they don't want to dole it out. They
don't
want to get her done. But, you know, that's neither here or there.
But that's another thing for another show. I did not know that if a tree falls in another yard and causes damage, that even if it's an act of God,
you're liable.
I had no idea.
Because it does make a sound.
Because it's on your property. Happy Friday, everybody. Yeah.
Must be nice to live in a condo and not have a care in the world.
That's right.
Ever.
One last question about the wind, boys.
Yes.
When you're, is it the kind of wind where, well, in Oscar's case, with those mature trees, when you are walking outside of your domicile, are you a little freaked out? Do you look up just to think, could something come crashing down
on
me? Because I'd be scared.
It's the kind of wind, and look, get your pervert alarm ready.
Okay, well said.
Where there's an alley that you walk up right in front of my front door to Georgetown University. You can see it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm getting out. I see the guy yelling by those trash cans. I see the Porsche windshield blown out, and I look across into the alley, and most of the students are walking to class.
Right.
And anyone that was wearing a skirt. It was a fight. Yeah. It was a fight with the wind, let me tell you.
And boys and girls.
And some of them lost an Oscar won.
You want to cough the rest of that up there, please?
Mike, I have a nor'easter in my throat. I apologize. It's till 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Boys and girls.
And I know this is that on 28 this morning, Route 28, one of the big roads in Loudoun County, you know those orange and white barrels with the flashing lights that are usually like weighted down with sandbags? I saw one of them flying across the road like an animal. It was weightless, like a balloon.
So for one of these young ladies, these poor young ladies, right? Now, win for Oscar, not for her. She did not notice that her skirt had blown up so far because they have tights on now. They're like yoga pants, I guess.
I suppose.
And I was like, oh, that girl's very fit. I can't believe she's wearing that to class. What had happened was her skirt had blown up so far that it had caught under her backpack.
Yeah.
So she was walking with, like, essentially leggings to class.
Is she the one you followed to work today?
No. I might have taken the long route, Mike, but no, not today.
Yeah. I ask about life and limb, and he's looking at ass.
Yes. Well,
he's looking at the limbs, not the life.
And a gentleman Georgetown student scurried up to her and touched her on her shoulder, because it's the Me Too movement. You can't just pull the skirt down. And then said, hey, Your skirt, your ass, everything's showing.
Oh, and then, yeah, and then, times
yeah.
changed.
Yes, yeah.
20 years ago, you know what men would have done?
They what?
Yeah, precisely.
That's what would have happened with us. Yeah. That's exactly what would have happened. All
that's
right.
the type of win we're having, Mike.
Yeah.
Botmos, BOTMOS, best of the Mike O'Mara show. Hey, it's me, Rob, and ZVBXRPL. Never forget. Next segment coming up. This has to do with radio because we're talking about a radio station bathroom. No, it's nothing disgusting. Well, maybe a little bit. But what we have here is a Christmas miracle. What's so special about that? This Christmas miracle happened in March. Ooh! Are you intrigued? I bet you are intrigued. It's the poinsettia and the Christmas miracle of March right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara show.
The late Ed McMahon was said to have a Christmas tree in his living room year-round.
He loved Christmas, right?
He loved the holidays so much that he kept his Christmas tree in his living room year-round. And I was thinking about that because just before the show started, we were discussing a Christmas miracle that has happened at our studios at Podcast Village in Washington, D.C., just outside Podcast Village in the hallway pooper.
It's actually in the suburbs of the village, Mike. It's the bathroom.
Suburbs of the village, yes. The pooper that we share with the Georgetown priests.
The Catholics, Mike.
The Catholics. Okay. All right.
Okay, that was not the best way to reveal it, but thank you, Mac, for your undying efforts.
Yes. Yeah.
Christ almighty.
He has...
Have a seat, Beth Ann.
Yeah, honest to God.
Here's the elephant.
Now, what Rob is saying, okay, so we have the TV camera here, and we were going to have the story of the plant being revived, and of course, the culmination of that story would have been Rob holding up the plant
right
at the end, and then Mac, in his infinite wisdom, decided that he would bring it right in front of the camera.
Mike, what it was, it was
before we even started hearing the story, you incredible moron.
What it was, Mike, it was, as always, his zeal to sit down.
Yes,
he has a tremendous
eagerness, yeah.
zeal. He is zealous.
Stand, Mac. Go over and stand next to Oscar.
Yeah, for the rest of the show.
Bounce on my knee.
No, I worry about you.
There you are.
All no, right, don't go, lean. Go. Don't lean. You're not an engineer.
No, you can't lean.
Stand.
You
and hands out of your pockets. Stand. Nice.
Right here.
Good.
Put your crotch right next to my face.
You are there at least until the first commercial read. Okay. So my Christmas miracles.
Go sit down.
Well, no, no.
Go sit down. No, go
okay,
sit down.
Okay, stand in that corner then. Because I'm pissed.
No, he doesn't have to stand. I know you're pissed. Go sit back down. Tell him he can sit back down.
No, he stand
Come
for
on,
10
Rob,
minutes.
I know
sit
you
down,
like to
sit
torture
down, sit down.
All right. So what happened with this plant?
My Christmas miracles are not only happening in December. If you look, a Christmas miracle can happen every day.
That's exciting.
Because a poinsettia, or is it poinsettia?
I call them poinsettias. I've never pronounced
poinsettia.
The I.
Poinsettia. I think poinsettia or poinsettia. It would be...
No, I've never heard poinsettia.
That I'm just making up. Now I'm just being a jerk. Now I'm,
it's like a Porsche.
What it is, I'm still pissed at Mac, and it's manifesting. He's almost ruined the miracle. But
do you think the poinsettia in any way is connected to Ponce de Leon?
Could be. Could
I
be.
I have no idea. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw
Or as his friends called him, Ponce.
Ponce.
What up, Ponce?
And is Ponce de Leon, is that perhaps the origin of the name Poncho?
Well, yeah, from Chips. Yeah, from Chips, the California Highway Patrol.
I wasn't going to throw that in there. I was talking about origins of names, but I digress. Go ahead.
So the poinsettia is the traditional Christmas plant that you get in usually mid-December. You leave it around the house, and then you throw it away. It has a shelf life maybe 17 days, I'm guessing.
Right.
And there was one in our men's room that I watched die throughout the month of December.
I purchased that one.
You did buy it?
Yes.
I see. I had no idea its
Ace
origin
Hardware.
Story. Ace Hardware? How much?
$14.
You see, and it was lovely, but because it was in the bathroom, devoid of natural light, and I don't think many people were watering it, it died throughout the month of December. And I thought it was a wonderful allegory for the death of the Christmas spirit as we watched the poinsettia die.
I am not sure that the poinsettia plant requires light of the same amount that would be required of other plants. Thank you.
But would you say, to further that theory, the men's room is not its natural habitat?
I would say that is true, but I would posit to you that the poinsettia is more in need of a warm temperature and moisture
tropical.
Than it would be tropical than necessarily light.
It
For example, it would thrive in a rainforest.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And it is humid in there, and there's a lot of fertilizer.
All right, here's the problem, because Mac is going to talk. Mac?
Well, airborne fertilizer.
It is
what,
indigenous
Mac?
To Mexico.
It is indigenous to Mexico?
Yeah, that I looked up at on the Wikipedia. It says it is indigenous to Mexico.
Well said.
Is it in the rainforests around Mexico?
It doesn't say where in Mexico, unfortunately. It just says
Tijuana, Mike.
Mexico.
I'm not sure whether it would be a desert plant. I'm not sure. But do some more research, boy.
Yeah, dive in.
Do some more research on the poinsettia. Yes, go ahead, Rob.
So it died throughout the month of December, and by the time the new year rolled around, all that existed was about, I would say, a dozen sticks and dead leaves around it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, from my vantage point on camera now, would look exactly like it looks right now.
However, I noticed this very week, can you see this one?
When are you going to cue the music, the special music?
Because the miracle is about to be revealed, Mike. Do you see this one piece of red right there?
Is that a bloom?
It has begun to bloom. And is the Christmas miracle on March 1st. There's also a smattering of leaves happening.
There are buds.
This is a living thing.
Look at that. She has brought it back from death.
Well, you see, and we've tried to throw it away, but that brings chapter two of the miracle.
Yes.
Oscar's encounter with the mysterious woman who may or may not be the Virgin Mary.
Doña Rosa, our cleaning lady on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Doña Rosa, how is she related to this plant? Has she been watering it?
I asked her, I said, ¿se puede botar esa planta? And I told her, you can essentially throw away that plant.
It is so cute when he speaks Spanish.
And then she goes, no, esa planta va a vivir. And I said, no, it's not. She basically said the plant's going to live, right? And
Can you hold the plant up to my camera so I can get a better look at it?
And I said, ¿en cuántas semanas? And she said, how many weeks? I said, and she goes, en un mes. And she said, 1 month.
1 month.
And,
she said she would bring the plant back.
And in about 1 month ago,
show him the red part, dummy.
Look at the bloom,
right?
There is now a bloom where
and the leaves are green.
She called it. She absolutely called it
to the day.
Wow. To the day.
That's just that I could cry. That is so special. That is here it is, March 1st on the Mike O'Mara Show, and we have a Christmas miracle all the way in March.
We have saved $14.
Mike, some people would say, and I believe our neighbors across the hall would say, miracles are happening all the time if you just take the time to look for them.
By the way.
All right, thank you, Mac. Thank you very much.
Go put it back in the bathroom.
Those Catholics. Because I'm here most of the day.
Yeah.
Now it's some sort of Catholic organization, is it not?
Yeah. They're associated with Georgetown University, right?
Which is a Catholic school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Episcopalian. I don't know. Something different.
Mm-hmm. No, they're Catholic.
We thought the sales guys here had issues with their stomachs.
Yeah.
Because when we walk in there, sometimes it looked like Fallujah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a carnival, Mike?
No, I'm not going to throw the sales guys under the bus. No, this is there is one problem with the pooper at WJFK, and his name was Bickle.
Yeah.
That is it. Okay, I get it. He is the bathroom destroyer of bathroom destroyers.
Have you taken Michael to any small, like, county-type fairs where they have spin art?
Yes.
That's
I know
the WJFK bathroom right there.
The WJFK bathroom. So, but you're saying they blow it up in there?
Once the guys blow out of town, which is around noon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here. So occasionally I'll have to go. And I'll walk in and I'll be like, oh my God, what kind of monster has exercised the demon in here?
Really? Because you usually hit the can right after the show.
Yeah, but I still gotta
avoid the bathroom between the regular and bonus show on Wednesdays. That's just smart money right
this
there.
This is the
Pro
type
tip.
Of exorcism where I say to myself, I can't even go and hold my breath through this.
Yeah, it's some sort of anal stigmata.
You know what? And this is going to get a little gross. Not that it's not already gross, but the fact is, do you think perhaps airborne particulates have contributed to the success?
There's a separate door.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but that door opens and closes. There's particulates flying like crazy.
No, I'm talking about like when the door, the plant is in the bathroom, correct?
Yeah, yes. But there's a dividing door, almost like a pocket door for a separate room for the toilet.
Yeah.
That they can close, but I'm thinking that when you open that door, when the deed is done,
the
particulates are broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been in that room. It doesn't matter. So the plant sits outside of the actual toilet room.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's still going to get there. I think maybe that has something to do with it, and I'm very happy that we have the wonderful plant living
now. I have been eyeballing the team across the hall. There are three priests, two nuns that don't use our restroom, and one guy who isn't a priest but a student that cycles into work.
Yeah, is he an intern maybe?
He looks like an intern.
Yeah, he's a Catholic intern.
Yes.
Probably the priest.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. It's, you know,
the guy.
Did you ever have priests over? You had priests over to the house for supper.
The guy.
Father Honan.
The guy.
Father Honan came over.
The guy that I see on the Nest Cam all the time is the intern with the bike.
By the way, just to be clear, we don't have a Nest Cam in the bathroom.
No, no. It's just it's through the glass.
Right.
We tried. They told us we couldn't.
It was in the lease.
And I'm like, man.
We tried to put it in the nun's room. They said no.
He said, we'll have none of that.
That's not true.
Maybe this is the cycle.
Yeah.
That cycles out what's going on in there.
Yeah, who knows?
No, he has his own cycling shoes that he lays out in the hallway.
See, that's gross. That's gross to me.
That's the type of man.
That he kicks off his cycling shoes.
Yes.
And by the way, cyclists are gross.
Yeah,
all right?
Pony.
Cyclists are gross.
What?
They are skinny,
a disgusting,
dirty, little, gross
sect
cyclists.
Of the population.
They think because they're thin and fit that they can smell like ass all the time.
Well, I feel like this
all
guy.
All the time.
His diet is roughage.
Take that, Lance.
Where does he take a shower? There's no shower in this building.
No.
Right? Right. So he's going in there, he's throwing on that collar, and everyone's like, oh, I guess you cycled to work, father.
Runners are the same way. I went to that back in the days when I actually thought I could be fit. Oh, by the way, I said that I would share with you one of my golfing mates' jokes.
Yeah.
And this guy makes me laugh more than anybody out there. He's the guy that's got all the, hey, the squirrel's got two brown eyes, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah,
that
guy
that does all those flip things. This may be the funniest thing ever said to me at Cocoonville.
Uh-huh.
And I was the victim of it. It was a disparaging comment about me. And,
but if it's funny enough, you can normally put it past you because it's for the good of funny, right?
My mobility. So we are settling up the bet after the round of golf, and we're sitting there with maybe 20 guys that are out on the patio getting ready. Everybody's having the post-round beer, and we're getting to, you know, we always wait in great anticipation with, who won the bet for the day? That's what's, and then, you know, one or two beers and home. What a day.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there, and the lady that comes out and brings the beer, lovely Lindsay, the Cocoonville waitress who's out there, and she does a great job.
Is she sassy?
She's young and she's just competent. But
okay, good.
They become, and I don't want to say sassy, but they become indoctrinated rather early to the fact that this is just a bunch of stinky old men that are out there playing golf. And they don't know
about the Me Too movement.
No. Check that at the gate, Lindsay.
So here's the line, all right? So I get up, I say, hey, I haven't seen Lindsay. Anybody want a beer? I'll go in and tell them that we need some brewskis out here. And they said, yeah, go ahead. And I get up out of my chair, and I've been sitting long enough post-round that you know what it's like when I stand up. You've seen me in there, right? You see how I move.
Fred G. Sanford.
It takes a while to get it gets the blood flow and takes a while. And so I said, I'll go in there right now. And I start gimping over to the door, and the guy in the back of the corner, my buddy Jerry, goes, no running.
Hey ho! Hey ho!
There you go. Sweet. No running. I told Carla that she liked to fall out. Anyway,
they love it when we were made to look stupid, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Those women, crazy gals.
And, but I walked over to him after that. It was quiet. And I said, that's really one of the funniest lines I have ever seen in my life. And then I smacked him right in the temple.
It's me, it's me, it's R-O-B-B. And I can say that DJ stuff because right now we're going to do some great DJ stories that lets you know just how stupid DJs can be. Also, a look inside one of the DJ's favorite things, the disc jockey prize closet. Did I ever abuse my privileges? No. Do you believe it? Well, before you judge me, listen to this segment.
on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
No comment on Rusty Ford's theme song?
Just got paid. Rusty Ford. Friday night. They turned off the electricity at my apartment. But I spent my money. Nan and I.
I forgot about Nan.
Doing it at the bar. Doing it standing up at the bar. God, the go-go 80s. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't play this song a lot, but I just wanted to make sure you knew I played it. That's all.
Man, I don't even remember the stories from him. But, I mean, there were stories like, I think it was New Year's Eve. I began the evening with him, had a cocktail, and then we went out to some party. And then he ended up, like, naked at somebody's door at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Didn't he date?
His jaw was sore because he got smacked by somebody. Weird stuff happened. It was just a lot of stuff going on with that guy.
There's one story that we've told on the bonus show that I won't trouble you with here, but I do recall one story. Didn't he date someone who was ostensibly a news person on ABC Radio?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
I think
I only
he did and
cow
screamed
story.
About
the cow story is what I
the story that I remember, and I think you told it to me, is they had a fight in a limo.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Now, so you said it in it was a local. It wasn't a
national
network news.
No, not at all. But I mean,
it
she did work.
Person,
at,
it was perking at a competing radio station,
right? And
he got in a fight with her. And because they were on such horrible terms, he was in the back of a limo and began shouting at the top of his lungs a description of her nether regions and how do I put this? All right. He yelled out the window or on the street to her that, and this is prior. Boy, this is hard. Junior broadcasters, the only reason I'm struggling
God.
With this. The reason I'm struggling with this junior
broadcasters I got you.
Is because it just takes a while to formulate this. What he was yelling
yes.
at the young lady in the heat of battle, and Lord knows no one wants to be around a domestic altercation. No,
and he wanted to win this argument badly.
He was going low in more ways
yes.
than one. And then let me just say, when he shouted this on the street, after the initial shock wore off, oh my, did it stick. Oh my, did we think about it forever right. after that? And on the street corner, he was yelling at her as they were in the middle of this fight, a term that is used for grooming down there. And it was not a delicate term.
No.
Well, the first part of it was shaved.
Ah. And you know what? It was yelled at a time.
Part,
it was yelled at. At a time that was
at
not
a time
unvogue.
That it was not a commonplace
right.
method.
Oh, now it's just celebrated.
Yeah,
it's,
now it would be like a compliment
in Brazil.
It would have been celebrated in today's yes. vernacular, but
hardwood
at the time,
floors.
It was perhaps a badge of dishonor.
A zero scaped lawn.
Yeah,
he felt screaming it at the top.
He was indicating that she was a woman with a loose state of morality.
That's kind of
yeah.
where
yeah.
he was. Mm-hmm. I think where he was going,
mm-hmm.
and then, there were many, many stories.
And she was ahead of her time, really.
Yes,
yes,
quite a character
yes.
Back in the day.
It was good fun, wasn't it? Good fun.
Yeah, I remember the DJ that was proud, and this is how dumb DJs are.
They really are dumb.
Let me just say, DJ 101. Most people that get into the business of DJdom. Do so. And you could make a case that a lot of professional athletes are the same way. You're men in their early 20s, and you're getting into this business because you think that if you are successful in this business, you will have a good time with the ladies.
Yeah.
That you will get lots of dates, and that is your motivating factor. And that makes for some very strange and just
dynamics.
Horrendous human beings.
Yeah.
The one that came running in, who was somehow very excited that he had contracted gonorrhea. And I just don't understand why he was saying that. But he looked around because he looked like he was from Middle Earth to start with.
Got it.
And the fact that he contracted this indicated that he actually had a woman choose to be with him carnally.
Yeah, but that's the same thing as if someone came in screaming they were in a car accident as opposed to telling you, I know
I
how
say
to
the
drive.
Fact is again?
Yes.
Oh, we have the alarm.
All right. Sorry about that.
Could you turn down the birds just a little bit?
Yeah, you got it.
It's so loud.
So it was crickets. It was really something special. Other DJs just did crazy things.
You've worked with some of the best. Who was the guy that would cover the Air Studio glass with newspaper because he couldn't
TK
be seen?
TK Tom Kent.
Oh, that was TK?
TK Tom Kemp liked to be, think about this abnormal personality. And TK, I believe, is syndicated now. He does a music show.
Yeah, he does an oldie show.
Mm-hmm. And TK, you're on the radio because you want your voice to be heard by thousands of people, but yet you don't want to be seen while your voice is heard by the thousands of people. So what you do when you have a remote broadcast, the one that comes to mind was WAVA was broadcasting live down at the National Christmas Tree.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And we had a mobile studio in a little trailer down there. And the ritual for TK when he would arrive to do his shift would be to put masking tape and album covers over the windows so no one could see him.
Wasn't it like an inflatable music machine that looked like a boombox, but it was sort of like a mobile home that you could broadcast inside?
It was kind of a mobile home.
I have an air check of TK. Do you want to hear what he sounded like when he was on the air?
Yeah, let's listen to TK.
All right, here we go. TK, Tom Kent.
All Hit 105, WAVA, presenting Beltway Busters. Disgusting, ridiculous things to do while driving home on the Beltway. Right now, I want you to pound your fist on the dashboard and beat with the music. DJ. Go ahead, don't be shy. Go ahead. Harder. Harder. Go ahead. Harder. Oh, no. I think you hit it too hard. Tell you what, hit it one more time, please. I'm getting nervous now. Hit it one more time right up there. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. WAVA.
Hi, TK. I was wondering if you could play some party music from Prince. We're having a big party in Georgetown.
Where's the party at?
It's in Georgetown.
Come on, tell me. We want to get everybody over there.
We already got a lot of people here.
Oh, yeah? Let me hear them.
We want to hear I Would Die For You.
And who would you die for?
TK at WAVA.
Man, you know what? You know what?
That's let me such tell you a great what. Station,
I'm here busting
man.
This guy's balls. This guy's a top shelf.
He's
DJ.
The maze.
No, he's
guy.
Not.
No, he is a hack.
No,
he was not.
Oh,
no.
My. He had a no, friend in Georgetown nighttime. Call in. How are you having your party?
No, that was a nighttime DJ. He was great.
You I know, go back Oscar is, to the, Oscar's too young.
You could put that guy up against Tommy McFly and he'd blow
Any
him
day.
Out of the water right now. My God.
I think
he's definitely
the era of the top 40 jock sort of predates you a little bit. Where that could sound hackish, I guess, to you.
Yes.
But WAVA had that energy 24 yeah. hours a day, and that's why it was the station that you never turned off.
That was a you know, they used the term flamethrower. That was a fun radio station to be a part of. And here I am, but these guys had quirks.
Yeah,
I remember Shadow Smith. Shadow Smith. We'd walk into Shadow Smith, and I think Don told the story about seeing Shadow, who was a very moody guy.
Yeah,
super moody and super dark. And he walked in and said, "Hey, Shadow, how you doing today?" And Shadow takes his fingers like this with his thumb and his forefinger and goes, "I'm so depressed." The only other thing about TK, little sidelight on TK, is that we used to have station conclaves where we have dinner meetings and stuff like that. And when we'd have a party, if it was a party where food was served, the bit was we'd all kind of go off to the side and watch TK eat because he ate like a hyena that was you know,
really
trying to steal
another,
a carcass from
that's
a
another
lion.
DJ trait, I think. A lot of DJs absolutely. Are like that.
Oh, and free food with DJs.
Oh, forget yeah.
Free anything with DJs. Mm-hmm. You got that disease early on when you got into the radio
were
game.
You,
Rob, because
were you a man of larger carriage before you got into
Rob
radio?
Rob was not a messy eater. What Rob got into immediately and to this day thrives on it is freebies, is station freebie. Nobody got more free stuff or hoarded more free stuff than Rob Spiewak at the radio station.
But in my defense, when you talk about eating, and I think this is because I always have been fat, I've not been an eater because I didn't want people to see me.
Got it.
And we've discussed that.
They eat secretly.
Yeah, I eat secretly in the darkness
of
night.
You see Rob like at the end of one of the Christmas parties and he'd be kind of like putting stuff in a satchel. Yeah, just so he could eat it in the car. That was that's what it was.
Emergency hand.
Never drove. I did wake up after one Christmas party. I think I had like three fire extinguishers and two plants in my hotel room. I don't know how they get. Oh, and big jars of decorative fruit. I said to Carrie, how did we get these up here? She says, in your pants. Okay.
The fire. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In the history of you raiding prize closets.
Yeah.
In the or any prize of any kind that was not going to find its way into the hands of a listener.
Yeah.
What is the greatest freebie?
I know it
in
without
the history of freebies.
Without even thinking, I know what it was. And I got it the week before Julia was born. So it's December of 2000. Tammy Sachs was running promotions then, like the greatest promotions girl ever.
Yes, she
woman.
Was the best. She was the best I ever
She was
with.
The greatest. And there was something I'd been watching in the prize closet, and she said I could have it. It was a $2,000 Duquesne gas grill.
Wow. I think I got an Xbox once. That's pretty good.
You got a $2,000 gas grill.
$2,000 gas grill beats an Xbox.
Yeah,
like stainless steel and all.
It
that
was
kind of
the
stuff?
It was red enamel, but yeah, but it was the top of the line Duquesne, and I used it for 10 years. It was great.
And I think I got that awesome. Xbox because they missed a paycheck. They're like,
oh, instead of a paycheck?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, listen, these are exceptions to the rule. You have to know your way around a prize closet because, by and large, you would have something along the lines of, Debbie Gibson's greatest hits that would sit there gathering dust for 400 years.
Yeah,
in
with
there.
A hole punch in the middle corner.
Yeah, exactly. To make sure that it wasn't resold.
Right.
Or something like that. Yeah.
There's also a rumor, and if you have any Hoobastank, which you probably don't, but you might.
I might have some.
If you can find some, if you don't mind. There's a rumor that Schmigmo and Schmooks would go and...
we don't talk about them much.
They would get artists to come to their show because it was night and no artist that's in town ever wants to go to a night show. An evening show is a throwaway show, right?
Right.
But we would get them there by it's essentially telling the record duck, as you would say, Mike, that we'll give them free stuff. So since I worked in the promotions department and was on air because I did 10 jobs for
the
same price.
Guests free freebies.
So I remember the time when Hoobastank came in before their 9:30 show, and they each walked away with an Xbox. And I was like, here you go, guys.
Wow.
Thanks for coming by.
That's pretty good.
Was it really worth it?
Because they were the biggest band in the world at the time.
Okay.
Everybody was playing The Reason.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to the morning show, and they weren't going to the afternoon show. So I called the record duck, and I said, hey, there may be two Xboxes that might be ready to go if you guys came on the show.
By the way, did you see what he did there? You know, he doesn't even know it because he's that good a broadcaster. He's that decent a broadcaster to his listening audience. What he did, and this is where he differs from you or I.
Yeah.
He actually did this for the good of his listeners, for the good of his show.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't taking a $2,000 gas grill like you did.
Right.
He was doing this for the listeners. That's what he was doing for the show.
Thank you, Mike.
However, for the show, my God. Unbelievable.
I would grill a burger for a listener on that $2,000 gas grill.
And bring it in the morning.
I would. Here you are. Hoobastank, do you like hot dogs? Here's hot dogs.
Might want to reheat this one in the microwave.
Give it a zap or two, but it's tasty.
And by the way, I realize that radio stations don't have the corner on the market of nasty refrigerators, but I have to say that at a radio station, there were science projects that were in our refrigerator that I couldn't believe it. I dreaded ever having to put anything or go anywhere near that refrigerator.
I have an example. We had a client come on once that was hot for a while. I don't even think they're around anymore, called Milwaukee Frozen Custard. And when they did the rollout for the buy, they brought gallons and gallons of ice cream for the staff to enjoy. Of course,
Milwaukee's best.
Maybe you're right. I believe you may be right.
I think it was Milwaukee's best custard.
And so they brought too much. So what everyone did is when it was
had
done,
a location in Manassas, Rob.
They shoveled all of these quarts.
I may have gone there on a regular basis.
Into the WJFK freezer, which was probably, by my estimate, set at between 32 and 33 degrees. So over the next weeks, the ice cream would melt and refreeze and melt and refreeze and melt and refreeze and ooze out of the cartons. There was a time when you couldn't open the freezer. It was a top freezer deal, and it was stuck because
it had been frozen shut with goo.
Oh,
no.
And you had to put a knee and pull to open the freezer, but God forbid anyone would clean it.
Yeah,
just gallons of melted ice cream.
Nothing will beat the WAVA refrigerator, though. It was amazing.
I can imagine.
Yeah, well, we actually for many many months we had Smoky River's head in there.
Oh,
it was wonderful. Yeah,
here we are to tell the tooth on the Mike O'Mara Show. Actually, it's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show with your host and curator Rob Spiewak. I said tooth because we're going to talk about the Tooth Fairy. How does it work in your house? How does it work internationally? I believe Andrea
one of our great interns from the past. He was Italian and he was diabetic, and he was a really good guy. I enjoyed hearing his voice again, and I'm sure you will too. Let's talk Tooth Fairy on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. I would like to go with the Tooth Fairy because I have questions, because your son is almost of an age where he's going to start losing teeth.
Yeah.
And not just because
he's going to lose them fast if he doesn't mind his P's and Q's.
Not just.
That's right, boy.
He's like, hey, little Michael. That was my favorite Dana Carvey. Why, in my day.
Oh, yeah, the angry old man.
Anyway, yeah, the old man. My day, we walked to school 43 miles with spikes in our shoes. Anyway.
And we were happy.
And we were happy about it. What do you have for us with the economic trends as far as getting a payout for teeth under the pillow?
Now, I am curious because we have an international representation in studio today. We have Italy represented. We have Bolivia represented.
See.
We have the United States represented.
Yeah, but you don't even know if in Italy or Bolivia, if that is a tradition.
That's what I was going to ask.
When a tooth falls out, that you put it under the pillow. I'd like to know.
I would like to know. For example, Mr. Andrea, is there a tooth fairy tradition in Italy?
Not for me, no.
Not for him.
No, okay.
Not for him.
And is there anything close to anything at all when you're a kid and you start losing your teeth?
As far as like the tooth fairy is concerned?
Yes, yeah, like you get
any
money.
Tradition at all, like a rite of passage or anything
no,
like that?
No, when I lost my teeth, I was happy that I lost my teeth and I lived my life that way.
You know what feels great about that answer is, doesn't it make all of us feel like we have to have amusement and diversions in soft America?
Yeah.
It's like, we lost a tooth, so we get to put it on a pillow and get a quarter. Duh. Yeah, no wonder we're the way we are, right? Yeah. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Well, they've done a study, and the amount of money left by the tooth fairy is actually sort of in tandem with the way the economy is. And,
by the way, we didn't ask Oscar about Bolivia, but I knew the answer to that. They just string them all together and they make jewelry out of them and then sell them on the major city streets with a pan flute.
Wow, you know, I didn't know that.
I can't beat that. He's absolutely right. The whiter ones cost more.
Yeah.
You can have the poncho or the necklace out of my son's teeth.
My son's teeth.
My baby. My son's baby. Yeah. Yeah,
and don't they scare away the evil spirits?
La bruja.
I've actually painted them in different colors. They are for you. You will enjoy these. Yeah,
so last year.
Painted with lead paint, Mike. It was cheaper.
Yeah. The paint is lead. It will last forever.
That is why the teeth fell out. The lead paint.
The chips.
The 2017.
I was crunching on. The tooth came off.
Here are your teeth necklace. The Oscar baby teeth necklace.
Go pick the walls, son.
Thank you very much.
Look at that blue. It's perfect.
Take your fingernail, scrape that wall, and then put it into the cup, and we will take it home, put water in it, and make new paint. And then we will paint your teeth with it and sell it in America. That's it.
So sad. So much poverty.
Okay. As we know, 2017, not a great economic year, and it was reflected by the Tooth Fairy. Tooth Fairy money went down 11% per tooth in calendar year 2017.
I think this is a conjuring thing. I think it's been a quarter forever or a dollar. That's it. It's a quarter. If
it shifted with Robert,
like me,
it shifted with Robert.
Well, what did you give your kids money for teeth?
$5 for Robert by the time he was done.
$5.
That's where we were.
Oh my God!
Right? Yeah, it's true though. Yeah. So I mean, I think that is probably.
Oh my God.
I think that is probably where people are at. But also, I've heard parents do like the Tooth Fairy left you a toothbrush or a small toy or something like that. And then there was also Carrie was big on writing letters or notes. Like, keep brushing your teeth.
Now let me ask you this. As parents of the year, which both of you are, I mean, nobody loves their kids more. It's fan. And by the way, with my older children, I was perhaps the absentee dad.
Right.
Not even the perhaps part. I was.
But you could have snuck in at night like the Tooth Fairy.
I just.
To his ex-wife's house?
Yeah, restraining.
That's why
I'm sure there'd be a problem.
No, it's
$5?
Mike, I quote this study right now. According to the Tooth Fairy Poll Tooth Fairy Index, which has been in place since, I believe, 1998.
Oh, good for that.
According to the index, roughly $450 per tooth was paid out in 2016. That is the national average, $450 a tooth.
A fin? Yep. I gotta put a Lincoln under the pillow
in 2017.
A spit blower? Oh, come on!
I remember because I grew up in the States, right?
Yes.
The first time that I asked for money for my tooth.
Yeah.
My dad looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, "All the kids at school get money when the tooth fairy comes." And I remember him being disgusted by that fact that you get paid to actually just evolve and grow up.
Right.
Right.
To mature.
Yes. Yeah. And he just said, no fairy here, in whatever Spanish, you know, flip
like,
way.
Like, screw that. Yeah, you lost that. Your tooth. It's a rite of passage. It's what normal people. It's like what Andrea said. Yeah. You know, my teeth fell out. I was happy. They fell out. And I moved on to my master's degree.
Otherwise, it would be rows and rows of teeth like a great white shark.
I think my dad was, he was probably more worried about the braces. He's like, well, we're going to have to get those braces soon. That's going to happen.
That's true.
Man, a $5 bill. I didn't know that. I'm not sure whether I would pony that. I like the idea of like a quarter.
What
I
mean, about a letter? A letter seems like so much work. Who has the time?
Carrie has lots of time.
What would the letter say?
Fare thee well, tooth.
She said it would be like, dear Robert, you know your father does much less than your mother in this household.
She'd really write them a letter?
Yeah, she would be like, it would always be like, glad that you're doing well. Thank you so much. We love you, the Tooth Fairy. Something simple like that. There was a panicked year, one year where Julia lost a tooth and then literally lost it. Couldn't find it in the house.
Right.
And so Julia is like three or three and a half. And she's like, Tooth Fairy.
She lost her teeth at three and a half?
Or she was youngish. So I think like four, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
My kid's four and a half. He's got one loose one right now.
And she was so panicked. She says, and she looked at me. She says, Dad, Tooth Fairy won't come if I can't present the tooth. And I was like, you don't really need evidence. The Tooth Fairy knows what's going on. I said, let's leave the Tooth Fairy a note and see what happens.
You know, down here in Cape Coral, Florida, where the adults lose their teeth, they all get gift certificates for meth. And they're falling out all the time. Full size molars.
With the root still in them?
With the bloody root. You know, you get an extra gift certificate for the meth with that one. I just think this is passed me by. I remember Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She was freaked out about the tooth, and I extracted the tooth for her because it was literally hanging there. And I remember.
Did you ever do the doorknob on the string thing?
I didn't do the doorknob, but I distracted her, and I said, well, I think if. And I pulled it right there, and it was gone. Now, hold on. She didn't even feel it.
Oh,
and
great.
She was so thrilled because I got it. And Elizabeth was freaked out about rocking it back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's like, Daddy, no, Daddy. And I said, let me just, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to, I just want to, and then I grabbed it like that and knocked it out. And I don't know what my son will be like, but I think that $5 seems, I guess it's the national average.
Well, it's, if you go for the, actually, 413 was the index in 2017. It went down because of the economy, and they break it down by regions of the country.
All right, now let me just give you this.
Okay.
With that survey.
Right.
413, is this a statistical thing? Because is a parent really going to say, what's the national average, honey? And count change out?
Well, no, because it's the arithmetic mean.
Based on the people that might be giving a dollar or something.
Exactly. It's based that way. And it breaks down by region, too. The West, Western states averaged 485 per tooth. 435 in the Northeast, 412
in
the South.
New Englanders. frugal New Englanders there.
And in the Midwestern states, Mike, only 344. That's all. Just $3.
I live with them down here.
Tight as a drum, right?
Tighter than tight can be. All from Scotland. They are all.
Scotland by way of Indiana.
You're crap. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're not going to get more than $2 for a tooth, you little shit. That's the way that's going to roll down here. I think the letter is sweet, but do you know what Carla does for my son?
What's that?
She puts a little note in his lunch every day that mommy and daddy love you, or a little have a nice day with a little heart.
That's cool.
And she does that every single day. I think that's very, very sweet.
I remember the one tooth that I remember daddy losing. Daddy said, yeah, same note that the Tooth Fairy left for Julia.
Yeah, same note that you got with the Tooth Fairy.
That's I remember great. Losing one tooth in school, and I lost it in a Rice Krispie treat. I took the Rice Krispie treat out of my mouth, and the tooth was jammed in it.
Oh wow!
So it was.
That's the best way to go.
It was a pretty. It was a flip.
My brother pulled out one of my baby teeth with a piece of string, like you would see on any movie or cartoon.
Oh, like a Three Stooges extraction.
Yeah,
sure.
He did that.
Did he do it with the door, or did he just yank it with the string?
Oh no, he just yanked it. He said one, and then he did it on two, and it was my older brother who is 4 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
and he said. And I just start crying, bleeding everywhere. And
oh, he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now.
Well, no, now he is. But I remember sitting there, like, why would you do that to me? And I was all gums.
Yeah. That's how my doctor, Mike, removed my toenails when they turned to blue.
Chad Ram, in my neighborhood, Chad Ram actually told me he was going to help me with my tooth because it was loose. But he took nylon rope and tied it around my neck and then tied the back to the back of his father's sports car.
Chad Ram.
You were able to keep up for a little bit, weren't you? By the way, oh yes, it is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you want to send me a thank you note, a card, or a gift, because we are providing you content, free content on a Friday, this is rather unprecedented, uncharted behavior, and you are welcome. So if you want to thank me, just drop it in the mail. Rob Spiewak, Main Street, USA, Anytown, 12345. I'll be sure to be there and sign for the package. Our final segment today, as is so often, an audio vault. Well, now we call it the flip side, but back then it was the audio vault. And this is what I like to call the Scott Shannon Audio Vault. So enjoy, and we will see you on Monday. Hey, hit that rockin' jingle.
Scott!
Hello, this is Scott Shannon, a professional radio pronosticator from New York City.
Shannon in the morning. Scott Shannon.
Scott Shannon.
C-100.
Shall we? And then at the end of the show today, I might have a little song poem slash thing.
Oh, I like that. Sometimes, Mike, I run into a piece of news or copy that makes me want to talk like Scott Shannon. So, okay. But before I say that, do you know what a milliner is?
A milliner? Is that a hat maker?
Exactly. Very good.
I thought it was like a golf term.
Hey, I got it. I got it on the first guess.
How do you know hat maker? That's
well,
so
he
strange.
Has that beautiful hat.
Well, because, oh, you know, right. Back in the day, we had milliners and we had blacksmiths when I was a child. Or when I was a child without biting my lip.
Cobblers.
When I was a child.
You had cobblers?
Sure. Mike, I want to talk about a Florida milliner named Odilian Ozar. Do you know what he did?
What did he do?
I want to tell you a little bit about this because this is really funny. This guy has built the world's tallest hat.
I'm a local artist and a milliner. A milliner is a hat maker. I've built here the world's tallest hat. It's 18 feet, 9 inches tall. Previous record was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. It took several weeks to make it. You can't move much. If you move, it's going to fall over. Do things differently are always looked at as an unusual, and then when the world comes around to understand them and adapt those things, then they become visionaries. Right now, you might think it's a little silly to wear a very tall top hat, but in 10 years from now, this may catch on. You may see George Clooney wearing the top hat on the runway.
I don't think it's silly to wear a 19-foot tall hat. What do you think, monkey boy?
Do you still have your big hat, milliner?
I do. I do. My milliner hat is up in the right-hand corner, but I'm writing my song on the fly.
Oh, no worries. So I can do your thing.
Okay, the Utah state representatives did something they should not do. And, yes. Mike, I need you to pay just attention because you'll need to blow
those
up.
I'm here. I'm paying attention.
They wrote a rap song about how a bill becomes a law, and they set it to the theme of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, nice.
And they don't care. That's the problem. But here's the way a bill becomes a law.
Now, this is a story all about how
our bills get flipped into a law.
I'd like to take a minute and just sit right there.
I'll tell you how a bill becomes law, and this is our chain bag.
Your tax dollars at work.
Iowa, right?
In legislative
Utah.
Mind, an idea is raised.
In the law book is where they spend most of their day.
Drafting out, maxing out, hardly relaxing, all cool.
And I'll introduce some bills inside of House chambers.
We're more than a couple of guys. Start reviewing the bill.
Are they making changes in committee on the Hill?
They may get one.
Mike, please blow it up.
They
care. Please.
They
I'm sorry. I can't, Rob. I'm doing something here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Boom.
So that's what's going on in Utah. This next tape was
briefly.
Right. Yes.
I had to look this up. The fact that they have so many electorates in Utah and you have so much time to actually produce a video like this really pisses me off.
It bothers me,
all the things that aren't being done.
Why do they have so much time in Provo?
Mormons.
Answer me that, monkey boy. Okay, I think this borders on child abuse. This was trending on YouTube yesterday. A toddler, under two looked like, maybe 2 years old, wanted to try wasabi.
Okay.
Because the parents were eating sushi, right? So they let her taste the wasabi, and her reaction, I will say, is priceless.
Want to try wasabi?
No.
Do you want to try it?
No.
Okay.
Wasabi.
Do you want to try it? Smell it. Smell it first.
She tasted a minuscule dot of wasabi, which is bad parenting, but the child's reaction is...
You don't give your kids wasabi, for God's sake.
And she said, help.
Help. Now, here's good news. Kelly Ripa...
I'll help. Anyway, go ahead.
I like it. All of my nerve receptors are dead.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Where did that come from? Kelly Ripa... Right. Stop talking. Kelly Ripa supports Ryan Seacrest.
I just want you to know that you are a privilege to work with, and I adore you. And I'm speaking on behalf of...
Oh, yes, Kelly. Oh, yes.
I know what an easy, professional, great person you are, and I feel very, very lucky to work with you each and every day. And we all do.
You are happiness.
You're happiness wrapped in chocolate. So there.
By the way, happiness wrapped in chocolate is a category on youporn.com. You can check that out.
When someone says you are happiness, that means I'm guilty.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Allegedly.
Let us close with this. These are scary times we live in. Vladimir Putin has issued an animated presentation showing how they can blow up the United States without being fought by any sort of defense missile system.
It's anti-ballistic.
He said it's absolutely it's useless against the system. Although I doubt it, because they didn't show actual footage. They showed an animation of it. So here's the
computer animation.
Here's the animation that Russia issued yesterday.
At last, after 2,000 years of work, the Iridium Q-36 explosive space modulator.
Pardon me again, Doc, but just what did you mean
Kelly.
By that crack about the Earth being gone?
Oh, I'm going to blow it up. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
So batten down the hatches and be ready for whatever they got. That is your magic audio
ball. That's the audio ball.
Have a good Friday, everybody. Woo! Good weekend.
And I leave you with one last little thing, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mike O'Mara Show fan page.
Okay.
From Cameron Huntley, who wrote, I will read it to you.
Okay.
Over 33 minutes of the mailbag, WTF. The fact is, this was not an improvement. So I just wanted to say thank you, Cameron. That was very, very, very kind of you. And then I wrote a little thing. I'm really sick of guys named Cameron. And I thought that was a fun reference to the George Carlin.
Yeah, of course.
And then Cameron wrote back to me, well, I guess we should have donated to your donuts for the Little League then. Because Cameron doesn't get it. So Cameron, this is a song for you.
Oh, just for him.
Cameron Huntley is a douchebag. Cameron Huntley is a stain. Cameron Huntley is a hemorrhoid. Cameron Huntley has no brain. Cameron Huntley is an asshat. Cameron Huntley is a hump. Screw yourself, Cameron Huntley. I see you when I take a dump. Thank you very much. There you go.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.